So many of you here with us this evening, and I know that it's a really exciting night for you. And the really good news is that the waiting is nearly over. My daughter Izzy has been counting down the days since the 1st of December, and I know that for her it has seemed like an awful long time to wait. And sometimes it's felt a long time for her parents too. But tomorrow morning, you're going to be able to wake up, not too early, and open your presents, and that is really, really exciting. But I just want us to spend a little bit of time this evening thinking about two women, two ladies, and two babies. You know, waiting for babies is a little bit like waiting for Christmas. It's really, really exciting, and many of you will know, because Ruth and I love sharing this news, that next year, early in the year, I'm going to become an uncle again, and Ruth is going to become an aunt, and Izzy is going to become a cousin to triplets. My sister-in-law, Ailsa, is expecting triplets in the new year, and it's going to be three boys, and we're really, really excited about this. As you can imagine, we spend a lot of time in our family talking about this, and that's because babies are really, really exciting. But I want you to notice something that's really quite interesting about the passage, or the passages that Alistair read for us this evening. So when these two ladies, Mary and Elizabeth, who are relatives, they know each other, and they're both miraculously pregnant, when they get together for the first time, they don't actually talk that much about babies. So what do they talk about? And I'd just like us to look at that briefly this evening. Let's look at Elizabeth first of all. She says, in words that we're told were inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The baby that was in Elizabeth's womb was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was going to be the forerunner of Jesus, the man who would go before him and prepare the way for God's promised Messiah. And he was the man who, 30 years later, was going to stand at the fords of the Jordan River and point to Jesus and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But it's incredible in the verses that we've read this evening to see that John is directing his mom's attention to Jesus, to the Messiah, even before either of them were born. As soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, John kicks out in the womb, and Elizabeth knows that her Lord is present. And this is incredible, too, in light of the fact that at this time, Jesus is little more than a bundle of cells in Mary's womb. Mary is still in the very early stages of her pregnancy. And yet Elizabeth is able to recognize that this bundle of cells is going to grow and develop into the man, Jesus, who will eventually be her Lord and also will be the Lord of all. As Thomas would famously stand in front of the resurrected Jesus 30 years later and say, "My Lord and my God." So that is what Elizabeth talks about. And I want us to turn our attention now and just think briefly about what Mary says. She doesn't really talk about her baby at all. She focuses all of her attention on God. And we don't really have time to look this evening in great detail at what Mary says in her song, but I just want to pick out a few things. Essentially, it's a song of praise to God. She speaks about God as her Savior. She thanks God for noticing her, for being mindful of her. She praises God that He is the Mighty One. He is the Holy God. She thanks God for His mercy, and she rejoices in the sovereignty of God, that He is in control of everything, in control of rulers and of poor people, of rich people and hungry people. And she thanks God that he is the keeper of promises. He always keeps his promises to his people. And one of the overarching themes of Mary's song is God's justice. God is a God who makes wrong things right. And we don't have to look very far in our world to see things that are not right, things that are wrong. Alistair has shared a little bit this evening, and he shared more this morning about his recent trip to Lebanon. And he was able to spend time there with Syrian refugees. And these are people who've been forced to flee from their homes, to flee from their homeland, and are spending another Christmas in temporary accommodation in a foreign land, unable to return home. And that is wrong. Every year at Christmas time, I receive an email from a friend of mine who is a missionary. He lives in one of the poorest countries in the world. And at this time of year, he is bombarded with letters and with requests. And I'd just like to read you one of the letters that he received last year. It says, "Dear Simon, Christmas is coming, a day of joy, especially for my and for all children. Or maybe not. They're beginning to ask, innocently but assuredly, what they will get from me, their dad and their provider. Simon, I have nothing. Most of my colleagues have nothing to give. These are days of survival only. Christmas is the one day in the year we want to celebrate with some meat to eat, some sweets, maybe a new article of clothing. The economic situation is dire. So we ask God and look to you and to Glow. Can we have hope to celebrate this Christmas with joy? Could you help us with a little something? Thanks for your consideration." And reading that letter breaks my heart. These things are clearly wrong. People should not be forced to flee from their homes in terror. And children should not go hungry on any day of the year. And yet these things happen. But Mary looks forward in her song to a time when God will make the wrong things right. And the mystery and the majesty of the Christmas story is that God chose to do that by sending his son into the world to take upon himself the punishment for our wrongdoing and to restore our relationship with him. And Christians look forward to a day when God will make all of the wrong things right. We look forward to a time when we will be with God in heaven and there will be no more wrong. As it says in the Bible, God will wipe every tear from the eyes of his people. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And this is the good news of Christmas. Not just that a baby has come, wonderful though that is, but that God's rescue plan, God's plan of redemption has been set in process and it will not fail. You know, Christmas is a time of joy and Christmas Day is a day of good things, but I want to encourage you this evening to, like Mary and Elizabeth, to look beyond the good things, to see great things. So when you enjoy time with your families tomorrow, I want you to think about and to anticipate the day when we will rejoice before the throne of God in heaven with our heavenly family, made up of people from every tribe and tongue and nation and language. And when you sit down to your Christmas dinner tomorrow, I want you to look forward to and anticipate the day when you will sit at the heavenly banquet in heaven prepared for you by the Lord. And when you open your presents tomorrow, I want you to give thanks to God for his indescribable gift of his Son, Jesus, which is the only reason that we can look forward in anticipation to these great things. I just want to finish by asking, how will you respond to this message this evening? I'd just like to look at the way that Mary responded. Mary, at the time that the angel came to her, was just a teenage girl, and she's just received the news that she is going to become the mother of the Savior of the world. She didn't understand everything that meant, but she was willing to trust God with what she didn't understand and say very simply, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So I want to finish by asking, what about you this evening? Do you recognize, like the bear in the film that we watched, that there are things that are wrong, not just with the world around you, but also within you? Are you prepared this evening to be seen by God and to be loved by God, to be made whole by God, and to become a part of God's great plan? I'd just like to say a prayer now, and then we're going to sing our final song. Lord God, I want to thank you for sending your Son into the world on that first Christmas. And we recognize that just like the bear in the film, we are unlovely. We are unlovable. And yet we read in your word incredibly that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us in order to restore us, in order to reconcile us to God. Thank you, God, that you love us. And I pray that everyone here tonight would know and recognize the depth of your love for them, the lengths to which you were prepared to go to reconcile us to you. And I pray that tomorrow, when we celebrate good things, that you would turn our attention to great things, to heavenly things, and I pray that we would rejoice and give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The band